Okay, let's unpack this. We often start a deep dive by taking your source material, the articles, the research, and putting it under a microscope.
Right.
We ask the classic question, does the evidence, the historical and scientific evidence, actually hold up?
But today, we are completely flipping that script. We're going to do a massive thought
I
experiment.
like this.
It's all about intellectual integrity. We're going to assume, just for the sake of argument, that the entire foundational narrative of Joseph Smith and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is 100% accurate.
Historically, factually, divinely true.
All of it.
So if that internal narrative is true, the gold plates, the visions, all of it, just as it's taught today, then what external pillars of modern science, history, and academia must be false? Our mission today isn't to look at the individual trees, the minor doctrines. We're looking at the entire forest of implications. What is the cosmic cost to everything we think we know?
And to do this right, we have to accept the foundational claims. We have to accept the literal reality of the first vision in 1820.
Where two separate beings appeared.
Exactly. Even though the source material shows that story evolved over many years, some early accounts don't even mention two beings.
And crucially, we also have to accept the priesthood restoration as literal history.
John the Baptist, Peter, James, and John, all of it.
Despite the fact that church records show those detailed accounts were, well, they were retrofitted into the history decades after they supposedly happened.
And finally, you have to accept the peep stone, the
Yeah.
seer stone in the hat, the treasure digging methods.
Not just as weird historical trivia.
No, you have to accept them as the actual legitimate tools God used to find the plates and translate the Book of Mormon. Because if those tools were illegitimate.
Then the whole foundational text is illegitimate.
Right.
Okay, so if you, the listener, accept all of that as indisputable divine fact, the first domino to fall is just. It's monumental. We have to immediately start dismantling modern science.
The first, and I would argue the biggest, casualty is evolution. If the church is true, organic evolution is false. Full stop.
We see that cemented in teachings from past leaders. Joseph Fielding Smith famously said it.
If evolution is true, the church is false. It's that stark.
And it's not just a historical thing. Modern leaders are still reinforcing this. We have quotes from Russell M. Nelson saying, man has always been man, dogs have always been dogs, monkeys have always been monkeys.
Which is a complete rejection of common ancestry. It's more than a theological statement. It requires us to just throw out the established 200,000-year timeline for Homo sapiens.
So all the fossil evidence, gone.
Gone. All the millions of years for earlier human species like Homo erectus, also gone. Instead, we must accept that Adam and Eve were the first humans, living about 6,000 years ago.
In a Garden of Eden located in
In
Missouri.
Missouri.
So if that 6,000-year timeline is the ultimate truth, the ripple effect is immense. Feels like geology, astrophysics, and especially advanced medical research like genetic therapy.
They become fundamentally flawed.
Explain that connection to genetic therapy.
Well, think about it. The entire field relies on understanding how genes mutate, how populations change over time, how viruses evolve to deliver new DNA. It's all rooted in evolutionary principles.
Right.
If the underlying theory is just wrong, then the foundation of modern biomedicine is built on quicksand. You can't cherry-pick the parts of biology you like a successful gene therapy, and then reject the science that made it possible.
And the problems just get bigger when we look at population genetics and DNA. The Book of Mormon's core historical claim is that the ancestors of Native Americans, the Lamanites,
Came from Jerusalem, they migrated across the ocean.
yet modern population genetics is, it's overwhelmingly clear on this point.
Completely clear. Consumer DNA tests like 23andMe, Ancestry.com, every academic study, they all show that indigenous peoples of the Americas originated in Asia.
Crossing the Bering Strait something like 30,000 years ago.
And there are zero Middle Eastern genetic markers, none.
So to be clear, if the Book of Mormon is historically accurate, it doesn't just mean a few biologists are wrong. It means every single consumer DNA test ever is wrong. The entire global field of population genetics is wrong.
It's a total erasure of the genetic map. And this includes evidence that's locked in our own bodies, the existence of Neanderthal DNA in modern humans.
Which is dated to, what, 40,000 years ago?
At least that has to be false, too. It just completely clashes with the 6,000-year Adam and Eve timeline. If you accept the religious narrative, the entire map of human history told by our own DNA, you have to throw it away.
This scientific inversion also forces a really difficult moral and racial inversion. For the scriptures, the Book of Mormon, Moses, Abraham, To be literally true, you have to accept the 19th century white supremacist idea.
That dark skin is the result of an ancient God-imposed curse. The curse of Cain, the curse of Laman.
This belief is all over early church history. It was used to justify racial discrimination, and it promoted the idea that righteousness could make dark skin white and delightsome.
And leaders promoted this for a long time. Spencer W. Kimball explicitly cited this belief during a general conference talk in 1960. If the scriptures are literal, you are accepting that skin color is a mark of divine displeasure.
That is a huge cost to the hard sciences. Okay, let's pivot. What happens when we apply that same logic to, well, to human culture, language, history, scholarship?
Right. So if we move into linguistics, the Book of Mormon narrative demands that the Tower of Babel was a literal historical event.
You need Babel to explain the Jaredites and their special interpreter stones.
You do. But linguistics and archaeology tell a very different story. We have continuous evidence that languages were already evolving and spreading across the globe before the supposed time frame of Babel.
So it contradicts the idea of one single language getting confused at one site.
Completely. And beyond that, for the Book of Mormon's timeline to work, for both the Jaredites and the Lehites, you need a global flood to have wiped out the Americas.
To clear the land for the new arrivals.
Exactly. Yet, archaeology and carbon dating show continuous civilization here, going back 25,000, 35,000 years.
So if the Book of Mormon is true, then both archaeology and linguistics have catastrophically misinterpreted millennia of human history.
Yes. And that brings us right to Egyptology and the Book of Abraham.
Joseph Smith claimed to translate this text directly from ancient Egyptian papyri. This is a huge one.
It's a critical point. If Smith's translation is true, then literally everything we know about the Egyptian language,
which was unlocked by the Rosetta Stone,
the foundation of all modern Egyptology, it must all be wrong. Every document, every tomb inscription, every single thing translated since the early 1800s using that knowledge is just incorrect.
But there's a deep irony here, isn't there? Because the church's own essays.
Yes, their own documentation admits that the papyri fragments we have date to long after Abraham lived. So they are partially accepting the validity of modern dating methods.
They're accepting the science on the dating while defending the divine revelation of the text from those same papyri.
It's an intellectual contradiction baked right into the defense itself.
That is a critical piece of information. Mm-hmm. So how does this then extend to biblical scholarship? The field that studies the Bible itself.
Well, if the Book of Mormon is a true ancient record, then hundreds of years of critical biblical analysis are just wrong on some fundamental issues.
For instance,
you have to accept that the Book of Isaiah was written by a single author. You have to reject the scholarly consensus of a Deutero-Isaiah, the idea that it was written by multiple authors over time.
You also have to accept that the long ending of the Gospel of Mark was original.
Right, not a later edition, which is what the scholarship says. And you are forced to accept that Genesis is literal history, not a compilation of different ideological sources.
And the final piece here is that the Book of Mormon relies so heavily on the King James Bible.
Which means that all the recognized translation errors inside the KJV,
which scholars have identified for centuries,
must also be accepted as correct. The divine translation somehow included the human errors.
So we have to reject science. We have to reject established scholarship. And this leads us to the final and probably the most difficult conclusion, the one about God's plan and the man he chose.
If Joseph Smith was correct, then God selected a prophet whose behavior was, based on the documented evidence, indistinguishable from a charlatan.
Or, in some cases, a sexual predator.
It raises a huge ethical question. Why would an all-knowing God choose a messenger whose actions would immediately look like fraud to any reasonable person?
And we have evidence of that fraud from his treasure-digging days. The source material highlights that story about him finding a feather deep underground.
And claiming a spirit moved the treasure was a clear act of deception to explain why he couldn't find anything.
And then, of course, there's polygamy. Joseph Smith used what we would now call textbook predatory grooming tactics.
Especially with young, vulnerable women, the Lucy Walker proposal is just. It's a perfect example. A 15-year-old orphan separated from her family.
Given a 24-hour ultimatum with a threat that the gates of salvation would be closed forever if she said no. It's just jarring to hear that kind of documented coercion framed as a divine mandate.
And he used the voice of God in DNC 132 in the Happiness Letter to directly contradict earlier scripture.
Specifically, the Book of Mormon, which calls polygamy an abomination.
So he used divine revelation to manipulate his followers into accepting his own practices.
So what does this whole structure mean for the rest of us? The billions of people who don't buy into this narrative.
If the church is the one true church, then Jesus' statement in the first vision that all their creeds were an abomination, that's not a metaphor.
It has to be literal truth.
Which means all non-LDS religious ordinances, Catholic baptisms, Jewish marriages, Muslim worship, they're all invalid, worthless and meaningless in the eyes of God.
And that's the whole theological basis for proxy ordinances for the dead. It leads to that elitist view that everyone else is just plain church.
Which brings us to the final point, the nature of God himself.
Right. If God is all-powerful and all-loving, why is his eternal plan only understood and, you know, enjoyed by such a tiny fraction of his children? It's something like 0.0625%.
It implies a certain incompetence or maybe indifference in his design.
The conclusion you're forced into, given all these contradictions, is that the Mormon God is a trickster God.
He doesn't just make belief difficult. He actively plants landmines in the path of the faithful to test their obedience against their reason.
So he puts out information that seems demonstrably false, like the Book of Abraham translation or the racist mythology about skin curses, to force his followers to choose obedience over reason.
And that's the end of the thought experiment. It means God is either so incompetent or so indifferent that the faith of his chosen people can be destroyed by easily accessed information, a PDF, a website,
or a deep dive like this one. We spent this time charting the huge intellectual cost of accepting the LDS narrative as 100% true. It's not about challenging minor points. It's about throwing out the core consensus of biology, geology, linguistics, Egyptology, all of modern historical criticism.
The worldview you're left with requires constant intellectual contortionism to maintain.
The level of intellectual integrity needed to hold all that together is just immense.
It is. When you're forced to constantly redefine, reject, or just ignore established evidence from nearly every field of study, you have to ask yourself which explanation requires fewer logical leaps.
So here's something for you to think about. If Joseph Smith truly got it all right, you have to accept that the creator of the universe designed a system where the only path to salvation is paved with scientific fraud, historical inaccuracies, and logical inconsistencies. A plan that seems almost designed to repel anyone who values reason and evidence.
We always welcome dialogue on this. If you feel any of these points are factually inaccurate or unfair based on the sources, please reach out and let us know.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Be good to yourselves, be kind to each other, and we'll see you soon.